The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, there's a lot going on out there, to say the least, and it's having an impact all around the world. And I would just, as we get ready to do a full Money Monday with our friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com, saw the story yesterday, and if you've been to Aldi today, you might be seeing that. Aldi out of Germany is telling everybody, hey, we're going to be raising our prices on 400 different items, anywhere from, like, I think 30 to 50%. 30 to 50% price increase coming to Aldi. It's starting over there on the other side of the pond, but it'll work its way over here. And if it's Aldi, then it's going to be who next after that? So there's a lot going on because of what's happening, not only in Ukraine, Russia, and that mess, but we've got 2 years of mess backed up behind it with supply chain issues from COVID, yada, 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 on and on and on it goes. So we have a lot to talk about today as we talk about what's going on over the pond, as well as what's going on here in America. And President Biden last week unleashed, that's a great word for it, unleashed his budget, almost $6 trillion, which I don't even know that gets any attention anymore when the president comes out and says, oh, we got a $5.8 trillion budget. Most people are like, yeah. Whatever, and then they move on because it's an incomprehensible number. Anyway, a lot to talk about today with our good friend David Fisher on a full Money Monday, as it is the first Monday in April. David, how are you?
I'm doing good, and how about Elon Musk buying 9.2% stake in Twitter, making him the largest shareholder, and that jumped from $39 to $49 last Friday, or 22%.
Jeez.
It's only 1% of his money, a little over 1%.
Yeah, it was like $3 billion or so, whatever he spent to do that. Yeah, because he put that out on Twitter. 2.9, he put that out on Twitter not that long ago, David. He's like, hey, you know, free speech problems at Twitter. What should be done? And everybody starts hammering and say, either start your own or buy Twitter. And he didn't really say what he was going to do. But then all of a sudden, he buys up 9.5%. He's the biggest single shareholder of Twitter, way beyond Dorsey, who is the guy that was running it before. And I love that. I mean, either do something about it or shut up. And he's doing something about it. That wasn't just a worthless tweet. So it's really, he fascinates me. Anyway, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Dorsey only owns 2.3% of the company's share, so he owns almost four times as much as Dorsey. So, yeah, I'm doing good, though. Thanks for asking. I'm excited for today. I'm at peace with the news within my spirit, but the news is disturbing. So, but we're at peace. That's
amen.
But I'm engaged. You can be at peace. You can be a little bit alarmed, but you also, you're engaged in being a good steward.
That's right. That's right. Exactly right. So we lean into it, and this is the period of time in which the Lord has allowed us to be born, and for such a time as this. So you just go, hey, you can't change the timing, but you can change how you react to it, and you can try to control that and be wise, whether we're talking about money and or time or talent, whatever you're doing. This is the time that the Lord has sovereignly placed us all in, and so that's not by accident. That's on purpose. So a great word there, a lot to talk about. So last week, as I mentioned, Biden, to use your word, unleashed his budget. And has talked several times, not always making sense, but thinking that's going to create an economic boom, David. I mean, I guess I missed the email on that. And that it would also, by spending almost $6 trillion, we're actually going to bring down our budget. So I don't know what I was thinking, but to help us to understand what's going on here.
Well, I'm searching for that email, too, and I just can't find it. But Ted Cruz found some information on it, and Ted is a pretty opinionated guy. I don't know if I hold the same opinion of his number. Of course, before I say all that, every administration tries to spin a favorable narrative on their annual budget.
Sure.
And this $5.8 trillion, there's a bunch of spin on it. For those that didn't hear last week, $5.8 trillion, it's the largest investment in our national security, $813 billion, a $31 billion increase, $1 billion going to Ukraine, almost $7 billion going to NATO. And yes, the budget deficit is going to come down. This is where we get derailed here. And they're going to tax the wealthy and corporations, with 55% of corporations being small businesses. Ignore the promise, in my opinion, that you aren't going to be taxed if you make more than $400,000 or less. You're going to be taxed because he's raising the corporate tax from 21 to 28%. So 50% or more of all small businesses are going to have a tax increase, no matter what you make. But Ted Cruz says it's not going to lower the budget deficit. It's not going to lower spending. It's going to add, here's the number, $45 trillion is where the national debt's going to be. Now, I don't know if I hold that. I don't know how he gets to that number. He doesn't go in depth. But he said, here's how he says portion of that. It comes from President Biden's plan doesn't state the accurate environment we're in. It's based upon old, outdated numbers, assuming inflation is still at 2%. We're at 7.9 to be exact. And he's saying by underrepresenting inflation, the budget proposal underrepresents the true cost of its spending plan, and that's where he's saying that the national debt is just going to be obliterated. So higher numbers, not a good number, and I don't think I want to be Elon Musk and buy a bunch of stock in the United States debt now, because it's a losing proposition. When we get into talking about the bond market, it's a bad deal right now. But anyway, that's the numbers, and we're starting to see other opinions coming out that this is not a bed of roses. This could be the roses around the funeral.
Yeah, and they're talking about it's going to devastate the budget, and that's, we're already at $30 trillion. We're already $30 trillion in debt. So right now it all becomes a relative term. And then whenever they talk, I've noticed in the past, David, that when I spend more and more money on my credit cards, my total amount of debt actually goes down. Said no one ever. And so that's where you just sit there and go, what? This is just politics over and over again, and it doesn't even make sense. But you don't have to make a whole lot of sense in today's world, especially when it comes to this, because people are just plugged into their own little lives. That's why the Aldi story and the price of meat is going to be much more prevalent to the average consumer out there than a $5.8 trillion budget out of the Biden administration. We're talking to David Fisher. It is a full Money Monday. We got a lot to discuss, a lot to learn when we come back right after this. Oh, nice relaxing music there on a full Money Monday with our good friend David Fisher, talking about what's going on out there in the world, whether it's Biden's $5.8 trillion budget or a recession or some numbers going into the red. There's all kinds of problems out there. And Russia selling oil, and hey, we're done with the U.S. dollar. They're trying to do that versus the Chinese yuan. So things are changing. The monopoly board, the International Monopoly Board, is changing rapidly. And for all of us regular folks and little guys, we're kind of at the end of the train, right? We're in the caboose. And so everything that happens up front ends up whipping around eventually in the back. And we all have to deal with it. We deal with the fallout here as normal Americans. Most of us listening to the show aren't the upper income people. Middle class, lower middle class, maybe some of you in the lower class. And a few of you in the upper class, but not many. So we have to deal with this as regular people, what goes on in D.C., what goes on around the world, what goes on in the financial markets, which is why we're always so grateful to have our good friend David Fisher here with us once a week, helping us understand these things so that we can be better stewards of whatever finances we happen to have charge of, whatever the Lord has allowed us to get to. And so we really appreciate that. And then the first Monday of the month, of course, we do a full Money Monday and spend the whole show talking about all these issues. LandmarkGold.com is the website, as always. LandmarkGold.com for David and his team. But David, it's so much to talk about. And what's kind of the general consensus out there besides Ted Cruz? What are people saying about this big $5.8 trillion budget? And then we'll move on.
Not too many people, except for a handful of economists, are buying in. A very small handful are buying in that it's going to pay for itself. You know, we haven't had a budget pay for itself in since 2000, so or prior to 2000 when Clinton was in office. So, so they're not buying. It's going to pay for itself, and we're going to have reducing the budget deficit. They're questioning the validity of how much it's going to cause inflation because it means more spending, which means more inflation. So it's just. It's going to actually cause more problems than stimulate the economy. You can't stimulate the economy through overspending. That's the bottom line, but that's what this does.
What about the CEO of J.P. Morgan? What's he been saying about major risks to this country?
Unprecedented is the term he's using.
Oh boy.
When he's talking about combination of inflation, war, and COVID, he's saying that this convoluence, these three things, could drastically, the word he uses, dramatically, increase the risk ahead for the United States. He's saying high inflation that will usher in a new era of raising rates. Here's a quote that he said, they present completely different circumstances than we've ever experienced in the past. This is confluence, I can't read today, may dramatically increase the risk ahead. In other words, he's saying these components, COVID, the post-COVID, the war, which is brand new still, and inflation, which you're just getting started, it's nothing we've ever faced before. Just the war and inflation is at the levels we never faced before. And he says the war in Ukraine and sanctions on Russia at the minimum will slow the global economy, and yet it could easily get worse from there.
Yeah.
He also goes on to saying that the Fed will likely raise rates rapidly, and they also will have a significant reversal requirement or reversal QE. In other words, he's saying that the Fed is going to follow through. They're going to unleash not buying the debt anymore, and they're going to unravel, sell the U.S. debt on their balance sheet, $9.3 trillion. And so there's people like him, a hedge fund manager, a chief information officer, Eric Peters of One River Management. He's saying, get ready for a recession. There's all kinds of people talking about recession. Jim Bullard, previous St. Louis Fed chairman, saying we should be at 3% interest rates by the end of the year. We're at a half a point right now. And former Fed New York chairman Bill Dudley said the Fed's actions will inevitably cause a recession.
Yeah, so that's, I wrote this down because I just was teaching on U.S. history. I teach every week, and I was just teaching last week on World War II. So when you said COVID, the war in Ukraine, and inflation, I wrote down axis of financial evil because you've got those three things all happening simultaneously. And then did you say somebody was suggesting we would go from half a point, the interest rate right now, to 3 points by the end of the year?
Jim Bullard, he's the St. Louis Fed president. He wrote an essay and put it on the Federal Reserve's website. Yeah.
All right. So what would be some of the practical implications if they could actually go from 0.5% right now to they go from 0.5% right now to 3% interest, the Fed interest rate, the benchmark rate, by the end of the year? What kind of downstream effect would that have?
Well, they're talking about raising rates in May 0.5 point, and in June back to back another 0.5 point. So we're 1.5. We're halfway there, and we're 6 months through the year, and we're only done at 3 rate hikes. So get ready. That 3% is well in the target. And what does that mean to us as citizens? You think food costs a lot right now? You get ready, because corporations are just going to pass these higher rates off to the consumer. That's why this, I've been saying, and we sound like a broken record, inflation is just starting. It is not on the tail end of this. The Fed doesn't even have starting to get control of this, and it is going to affect our pocketbook, affect the dollar and the usage of the dollar globally. We're going to head for a I'm going to make a prediction right now on your program. There is going to be a downswing either in the market or the economy between now and the end of the year. unless the Fed can pull a rabbit out of the hat, and I've never seen that happen. This is a tough environment, and we're going to pay, unfortunately, the sky's not falling, the dollar's not going to zero. We're going to feel a lot higher prices for the cost of goods, things that people buy every day, and big-ticket items.
Yeah, and then, I mean, I saw that story, I mentioned it earlier, on Aldi raising its prices by an average of 20 to 50% due to an increase in production costs from, and they're relating it all to what's going on in Ukraine. From Monday onwards, meat, sausage products, and butter will be significantly more expensive, a company spokesman told German press agency DPA. So it's starting over there, but it's going to come over here. And those are benchmark regular things that regular Americans go out there and buy. And so if these prices start going up 20, 30, 40%, David, average Americans, especially middle class, lower middle class, I don't know that we've seen anything like this in the last several decades. I don't think we've seen anything like this since the 70s, have we?
We haven't, and I think it's going to be worse in the 70s because we didn't have a fertilizer issue in the 70s. We're going to have that now because Russia is one of the biggest exporters of fertilizer, and we're the biggest, one of the biggest buyers of nitrogen and potash from Russia, which is fertilizer. And the North American Fertilizer Price Index has up 43% since the Russian invasion just a few months ago, and up 233% from a year ago. So this is one reason, not just oil, but fertilizer is causing severe higher prices here. And you're right, Europe, 20 to 50% increases in food costs that started last night while we were asleep. They implemented this morning. German retailers announced it.
Yeah, and that's going to follow the sun and end up over here. And I've got a buddy. I'm going to put you on hold, David. We're talking to David Fisher. I've got a buddy in the commercial landscaping business. His cost for Roundup, commercial Roundup, is up 300%, three times more expensive than it was a year ago. This is real, friends. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. By the way, if you're wondering about the budget in heaven, you don't have to. There is no budget, unlimited resources, perfect stewardship. And if you're know Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you've put all your faith in him, one day you'll be there. That kingdom, wherever it is right now, then eventually it'll be here on earth. And we don't have to worry about any of this junk. Isn't that nice? I mean, you don't have to worry about the price of gas. You don't have to worry about the inflation. You don't have to worry about how much it costs to buy chicken because there's no chicken in heaven. There won't be any chicken here. That you're going to be eating because there will be no death. But if God wants to make, you know, an impossible burger, an impossible chicken sandwich, I'm sure he's perfectly capable of doing that. So one day we don't have to worry about all this garbage. But in the meantime, we do. And these are very serious consequences, especially if you're like the Noble family. You know, we do okay, but we're not wealthy. We're not rich. And so when gas prices start going up, we start making a decision about my wife's car versus my car and which car gets better gas mileage. And you're starting to make some decisions like that. Going, okay, that's not, maybe you should take this one since you have to drive really far. And that's real life for us normal people down here. And that's why we have to talk about these things and why we're so grateful for our friend David Fisher at Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com, as we look at these different issues, which are literally changing every week, and trying to keep on top of it so we can look in what's in front of us, what's coming, which, by the way, should affect our prayer lives. We should all be praying into these things, not only for our own sake, but for everybody else, but also just to be prepared. And remember, you haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And part of having a sound mind is being educated, which is why we always look forward to David every week. LandmarkGold.com. David, you mentioned the R word, recession. Help us remember what a recession is. How do we know if we're going to go into one? And what would that look like and how soon?
So some say we're on the edge of a breakout. Others are saying we're on the breakdown. The bond market tells us a lot about the recession. That's one thing. In the headlines recent days, quote, worst bond market drawdown on record, end quote. A drawdown means the price has dropped. Here's another one. Global bond market loses $2.6 trillion. There's been a plunge of 11% in global bonds since January of last year. It's the highest decline percentage-wise since we've been collecting data all the way back to the 1990s. And by December of last year, 2020, the total amount of global debt with negative yields reached $18 trillion. Now, what's a negative yield? So if the inflation is at 7.9% and a two-year treasury note is at 2.4, that means it's a negative return, 5.5% negative. So we got a lot of money out there, and a big chunk of it's U.S. dollars, $8 trillion of the 18, is negative yielding assets. So last week, Graham Summers, the guy I've been quoting, said he's warning now of a spectacular collapse.
Oh, man. Jeez.
He says inflation at the levels at unprecedented years, the last 50 years. He said the yield curve is inverted. He also said this, six out of the six last recessions was also led by the Dow Transport Index, which is an index just like the Dow has an index. There's an index within the Dow. It's called the transports. When that has turned negative or collapsed, it goes into, we go into a recession six out of six last time. Friday, the stock index collapsed 5%, not the Dow index, Transport Index. So, but the biggest thing, Steve, is the yield curve inverting, which means, okay, there's government debt, government issues our debt, so we can keep overspending. They create a two-year note and a 10-year note and other notes, but we're going to just use those two, okay? Normally, when you hold the debt longer of time, 10 years, you should get paid more money because you're taking on risk. A two-year note should pay less money. It's called a yield. When the inversion happens, the two-year pays more money than the 10-year. It inverts. It's higher.
Oh, boy. Got it.
I said on Monday, sometime this week, this is last Monday, it will invert. It inverted several times last week, Thursday for the first time. It's inverted today. 9 out of 10 instances, the S&P 500, when it peaked and then turned lower, this was a prior recognition of a recession coming, and it just peaked out in December, by the way, and we're down almost 5% today, 4.6%. In every session over the last 70 years, has only happened after 2 and 10s inverted. In other words, every single time the 2 and 10 inverted, we've had a recession 100% of the times in 70 years. Another remarkable data point, on average, it takes 2 years for the Fed to start hiking rates to invert the 2s and 10s. But this time, they started hiking rates 2 weeks ago, and it inverted last week.
Wow.
So this is a completely different environment. This is a recession coming on steroids. Every indicator is on a historical track record is screaming recession. And what are the odds that they're all are going to be wrong? I don't think so, unfortunately. I'm not a doomsdayer. I am being realistic and reporting the data. I don't like the data. I said this would happen, though. Once the Fed starts raising rates, you're going to see all the wheels fall off the wagon. And it's doing that in many ways now.
Yeah, which takes me back to something you said earlier with the federal government trying to unwind its balance sheet and get rid of $9.3 trillion of U.S. debt at this point. When you have a negative yield curve and so they invert, you actually can make more money on 2 years than 10. You sort of go, who's going to buy that junk? I mean, all the junk bond dealers of the 1980s and 90s couldn't sell that junk. It's so bad. I mean, who buys U.S. debt anymore?
That's the problem I said we would get to, and now we're going to start to see that. And this is why Goldman Sachs says we're going to have 3 years of inversion. And they said they were wrong when they said it was going to happen in the third quarter. It happened last week. Bank of America said it's going to happen in the second quarter. They were spot on. So we're going to have a recession in the next 12 to 18 months. That's usually 90% of the time when it shows up. So prepare. Get your financial house in order. A recession is usually bad for stocks, usually pro for metals, pretty good for real estate at the beginning and really bad at the end. But higher rates are coming. This time is we're going to have a severe problem around the dollar because Russia is involved with this thing, and there is a change, a huge paradigm shift coming now. We've opened the door for that with the dollar.
I mean, you look at all this stuff, and I've done a couple of shows in the past, full shows on the Great Reset, out of the World Economic Forum. I recently just finished reading Glenn Beck's book on it, on the Great Reset, which has excellent research. Forget what you think about Glenn Beck. This thing's got like 400 or 500 different footnotes, so there's excellent research. And all this is setting up nicely. You threw a biblical perspective in there and an end times perspective. And I reminded people just the other day, I'm like, okay, everybody, just remember the end of the story is set. The overall trajectory is down. It gets so bad, the only person that's going to solve it in the end is Jesus himself. And so just gird up your loins and remember that. Not that we can't have little upticks every once in a while in a certain part of life or a certain part of the culture or even in a financial way, but the overall trend is down. And we have to, and I don't think we're ready for that, David. I think we were shocked by what happened with COVID. I think we're going to be doubly shocked by what happens with a recession of this magnitude. I just don't think we have the imagination for it anymore. It's kind of like pre-9/11 versus post-9/11.
The Western media does not have a grasp on this yet, and that's why it's not being talked about. But you're going to see more and more of this coming out of the news in the next weeks and months, and it's going to become more of a reality, especially when you see prices at the grocery store starting to rise and oil prices starting to rise, because Russia's a kingpin at the point of this, and they and China have been planning this for over a decade.
Yeah, and it's we're going to talk about that when we come back in the last segment, is what's going on with Russia. It's threatening not to sell oil in dollars or euros anymore, so because theirs is collapsing to, like, if you want to buy Russian oil, you're going to have to pay us in rubles. I mean, again, this is really, really, for most people, David, I think it's very complicated, and they just kind of glaze over until they go to the grocery store, the gas tank, or they start trying to watch their credit card rates skyrocket. I just hope people are starting to go, okay, I need to get myself more educated here because I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, the top Russian lawmaker, Vladislav Voldyar, I don't know if I pronounced his name right, said last Wednesday, and Reuters reported that, said, quote, "If you want gas, find rubles," end quote.
Jeez.
And Monday, Russia turned off the valve for oil to Europe.
Jeez.
It's already happened.
Yeah, it's already happened.
Shift has happened. And, you know, I don't know how much time we get into the break, but a price per oil right now, if sold in dollars, if oil is at $98, add five more dollars to that. That's Saudi Arabia has been adding a $5 premium.
Wow.
Oil sold in rubles is discounted $35 a barrel.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, they're very serious about transferring this whole thing out of dollars, and it's happening right underneath our nose. We're talking to David Fisher of Full Money Monday. We all better be praying about this stuff too, friends. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Several people on Facebook Live asking me about the role of precious metals in the Noble family. Listen, we got educated. David was kind enough going all the way back. David, I think it was 2016 when we first started talking, when I first went into syndication with the radio show. And we spent probably a couple hours back and forth on the phone because I just did not understand the role of precious metals in a balanced portfolio. I didn't get it. I heard Glenn Beck talking about it back in the day, and I was like, well, he's wacky, so I'm not going to listen to him. I don't think that completely anymore. But then other people I would hear, and I'm like, this sounds a little nutty to me. But you were kind enough way back when, almost 6 years ago, to kind of explain it to me. Then I'm like, oh, okay, this makes sense to me. And you don't have everything on one end of the teeter-totter, because we all know what happens when the kid jumps off the other end. Or a sailboat, when you have your big sails up there and you're working with the market. And last year, you're like, wow, this is awesome. We have prevailing winds. I'm going to make a lot of money. Then that wind dies and goes south, or knocks your boat over. Do you have any ballast underneath it? That's the diversification. So I got educated, and then I made a decision. And we like the fact that we have physical gold that's in a safe deposit box, because I know it's out of the wind of what's going on in the crazy market, and it provides some diversification. But that's the history for David and I. And then I would always encourage you don't understand, it sounds confusing, you want to find out more, get yourself educated. That's what I did, because if I didn't understand it, David wouldn't be on the radio show today. But he's been on for years now because I did understand it. But you have to go through that process as well to get educated so you can be a good steward. David, anyway, thanks for spending all this time, not just today, but over the last almost 6 years now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know where we're headed. The streets of gold is what we'll be walking on.
Amen.
We don't need gold there, but we need it here. We have to have some sort of representation. The Noble family understands that, and many other listeners. But if you've not taken that phone call and called my company, understand that many have done this before you. There's no pressure. There's no obligation. Learn about it and pray about it and see what it does for you to see if this is the right move to put a portion, not all your money, but a portion of your money into this asset class, like Scripture says, a portion to seven, a portion to eight, because you do not know what tragedy may befall you. And so we're all about empowering you with wisdom and knowledge and helping you, but it's ultimately, it's your decision, not ours.
Well, we don't know what will befall you, but we do see some signs on the horizon, and that's all we talk about. It's pretty obvious stuff. You mentioned, and did you say before the break, David, that Russia is discounting their oil $35 a barrel if you pay them in rubles? That sounds like a deal down at the grocery store or something.
It is. This is why I thought we would never be here at this point. I thought when I talked saying, hey, watch, you're going to see Russia kick the dollar and only accept rubles, and I said they're going to back their currency. I thought that was 5-10 years from now, Steve.
Wow.
It is last week. It is. Happened. So I'm blown away. Russia's gas giant, Gazprom, officially halted deliveries to Europe. They turned off the pipeline. Europe can only pay in either gold or rubles. I suppose they could pay in yuan, because Russia's accepting payment for oil and yuan. And I think they've alluded to this, but they haven't made this staunch, that when they sell fertilizer, you're not going to be able to pay for that in dollars either. They said all commodities, and that's a commodity. So we're going to get more clarity on that. But, yes, Saudi Arabia has been adding a premium of $5 a barrel for last year. They're just raising that last week to $10. So instead of oil at $98, if you buy it in dollars from Saudi Arabia, it's $108 a barrel versus Russia, which their currency has fully recovered since the collapse at the beginning of this war 2 months ago. They're discounting it $35 a barrel. So if you pay in rubles, it's $60, $63 a barrel, not $98 a barrel. So there is a play here that Russia is saying, buy it and buy it from us and buy it in rubles.
Yeah, and then here's the Biden administration trying to talk to Venezuela and trying to get Saudi Arabia and the Middle East to pump up their production, and then he's dipping into our reserves, which doesn't accomplish anything at the pump. The whole thing is so ridiculous because he's so controlled by the left, and he's just whoever the puppeteers are. It's really remarkable, and to hear that, what's going on with Russia, I mean, this is we have to get used. I think we have to get used to the notion that America's not the number one player on the planet anymore.
It's, we're trying to, it's like fighting is like trying to cover up a shotgun wound with a Band-Aid right now. It's just like we're going to bleed, and we're not doing the right things on every level. We're spending too much. What the Federal Reserve, our central bank, is having to do, because they have to get rid of the dollar, because the dollar's in trouble. That's why they're selling $9 trillion of it. That's why they're not buying anymore, because they're losing money. It's a negative asset. It's a negative return on their money. They have to do this. I said we would get here. And so Russia is compounding this with the oil trade and kicking off the dollar off the pedestal through the petrol one. And that's the only thing that's saved our bacon since 1974 until now. Now we lost that. So this is why this huge paradigm shift has not fully been embraced yet by the Western media and on us. But this is where I said we would be. I just didn't think it would be in 2022. I thought it would be 2025, 2030, 2040.
Right. On down the road.
It is here. So we're edging towards a gold standard now at light speed. Russia's now insinuating that their currency is backed by, could be backed by gold, at least selling oil in gold payments and rubles and yuan, not the dollar. So if you're a central bank out there and you see this thing called the dollar in trouble and their own bank, the Federal Reserve, selling all their dollars probably in the next couple of years, This is a wake-up call to the rest of the world. They're saying, I can't hold as many dollars.
Yeah.
This is why I'm saying this is going to snowball on us to a financial calamity. This is why there's four scenarios happening. A recession of magnitude like never before coming, unfortunately, when you put all these pieces of the recipe into the mixture.
Yep.
Shortages, oil, food, chips for electronics. I can go on and on. We don't have time. Global monetary disorder. The dollar, being the world reserve, is shrinking. The dollar share of U.S. dollar-denominated reserves has fallen to the lowest point in a 26-year low created just recently. Fragments, the sanctions have fragmented the international monetary system. This has opened the door. And, of course, the uncertainty is what this war might turn into. And I don't you'd never buy gold for on a wild card. That's a wild card. If it gets bad, you'll see higher prices in gold. But I hope it doesn't get bad. I think it's just, I think all the other things I said are going to be the factors. This is why you diversify in gold, because we're having the 70s all over, except for a currency crisis payment on top of the 70s.
So what is going on specifically with gold and silver?
Well,
as a result,
there's a huge movement now. There's a lot of central banks now that Russia's done what they did. You're going to we've seen a lot of central banks buy gold. I think we're going to see a ton more, like never before. And we're already at a 50-year high of central banks. Looking back 50 years, we're at the highest point within the last 3 years where central banks bought more gold than any other time in history, which tells us, Steve, that they are predicting a financial challenge of exorbitant measures down the road. Otherwise, they wouldn't be buying aggressive. Now, we're not seeing huge price increases, but we are starting to see shortages, which the next thing is you will see price adjustment upward. So we're starting to see in bullion products, we're starting to see in numismatic products, I'm seeing in better quality investments shortages happening. It's the start, I think, of many products, and silver's responding. We saw some big movements in silver the last quarter of last year in certain markets in silver, and I think we're just starting this whole new era of precious metals. We're on the cusp of a major movement upward. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme. It's a buy it, hold it, forget about it. It's your insurance policy.
Yeah, yeah.
If they keep inflating, you'll be glad you have some metals. If the stock market corrects, you'll be glad you have some metals. If they do a seizure of your wealth, your 401k, or your IRA, a portion of that called the bail-in, you'll be glad you've diversified in metals. This hits a lot of those bullet points, and this is why you need to learn about it.
And we're talking about physical possession. We're not talking about ETFs or investing in a gold company.
Correct. This is physical gold. We don't do paper here. We don't have a license for it. This is physical gold. Yes, hard asset.
And then why coins, real quick? I had a couple people on Facebook Live asking me that.
Well, there's different types of products. There's old coins. Those are exempt from confiscation per the 1933 historical precedents and the trading with the enemy act law of 1917. So most people, when they buy gold, they want to get their money safe from the government, and that's why they buy old coins. New coins are American Eagles. We offer those too. We offer all products. But those are bullion products, and those can be confiscated. So that's why most people, they sit and talk with us. They learn about all these. There's about four distinct markets. They learn about all of them, their benefits and drawbacks, and they can make their own decision what is best for them.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because desperate times call for desperate measures. And if you don't think the federal government is up to the task of seizing whatever they can in order to keep the ship afloat, your head is in the sand. You have to begin to think a little more creatively and a little more darkly, quite frankly. You got to go a little bit darker with your imagination here and what the federal government is capable of. And we have plenty of history, not just here in America, but around the world. David, if people want to start that educational process, what do they do?
Give us a call, 844-604-2575, 844-604-2575, or landmarkgold.com.
All right, buddy. God bless you. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
another program powered by the Truth Network.